This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. Before the break, we heard about a party crasher who regularly sneaked past the Secret Service and into celebrity parties, hobnobbing with A-listers and posing for photos with presidents. Our next story of gate crashing has none of that glitz or Hollywood glamour.
Yes, it is another arrest at a Chicago airport for the so-called serial stowaway.
After being arrested in Los Angeles, she was sentenced to 2 years probation and 3 days in jail.
The judge has ordered a psychiatric evaluation for a woman with a history of trying to sneak onto airplanes after she
63-year-old Mariel Hartman has been apprehended dozens of times at airports across the country, but has still made it past security and onto planes without a ticket. Her repeated stints in jail have turned her into the serial stowaway, subject of a Kickstarter campaign, a kind of folk hero to some, and low-hanging fruit for TV news. Despite the number of sound bites and headlines devoted to her, little has been done to understand what's behind her compulsive attempts to take flight. Joe Eskenazi is senior editor at San Francisco Magazine, and he wrote an extensive article about Marilyn Hartman. Well, Joe, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Well, thank you for having me on.
So you spoke to Marilyn over the course of a few months. Well, first, I'm curious what she told you about how she's been able to make it through security checkpoints.
You know, she's talked to me about that. She's talked to a few people about that. And in all of the police and incident reports, they do go over that. And it's not very high tech. Sometimes it's as simple as waiting for the TSA agent to be distracted and walking past him or ducking under a gate. Or waving what appears to be a boarding pass, but is actually a bus timetable. Or pretending that you're someone when you're not, when a leading question is asked by a gate agent, such as, are you Philip alum or something like that? And you just say yes. So it's not super difficult, and she has a very high failure rate. So if you're willing to go 1 for 15 or 1 for 20, you can do this.
Well, the TSA has circulated photographs of her. She's banned from several airports. She's sometimes apprehended, sometimes jailed, sometimes not. But you dug into her motivation. What is she trying to do? Why does she just keep setting herself up for this failure?
I talked to her about this, and it wasn't very illuminating. She told me that she has whistleblower trauma syndrome. And she described a long and somewhat difficult to parse 20-year persecution coming from up on high. She said President Obama has been complicit in this for decades. And as a result, she feels like getting on a plane and flying away. She just has to get out of it. As you may have noted, it's not a happy tale. When you look at the incident reports, she often admits to the officers, you know, I'm so depressed, I just needed to get out of here. And I just needed to get off the island and when she was arrested in Hawaii, or I don't know what to do, I just have to leave. And sometimes she'll even have said, I tried to make myself stop coming to the airport, but I couldn't do it.
Persecution from on high, compulsive behavior, the FBI is involved, sounds like hallmarks of mental illness.
Oh, there's definitely mental illness. Even she will admit that she's mentally ill. Looking through, again, extensive records, she's taking a number of medications for, I believe, PTSD and depression. But PTSD and depression are not conditions that readily explain compulsive airport behavior like this. And I talked to a psychologist and a psychiatrist, and he said this was a very difficult diagnosis. I'm confident that the extensive analyses done in jailhouses across the country may have touched on some of this. But the most recent analysis in Chicago, where she's currently incarcerated, said that she was sane at the time that she was arrested multiple times and is sane with medication. So it's something that it's not easily diagnosed and it's certainly not easily treated.
Any clues looking into her history or family members that could help offer an explanation?
There just is no origin story like with a superhero. She wasn't struck by lightning while watching a plane take off and thereby being, you know, compelled to go to airports. It's very hard to put a finger on why this compulsive behavior takes place. Going over her family history as much as we could, and I spoke to two men that she claimed are her brothers, have the same family last name, and talked about family history, but clammed up when I said, are you her brother? So take from that what you will. They just said that she was, they just said she's not been really a part of their lives. One of them lashed out and said that she was manipulative and could get whatever she wanted and could work the system. And she graduated from high school. She took courses in, I believe, in business college and claims to be a legal secretary. Mm-hmm. You can start seeing an odyssey of traveling around the country starting about 15 years ago or so, and homelessness more recently than that.
Well, pretty obvious from news reports and the things that you uncover in your article that she really does need help, which she doesn't seem to be getting. She's still getting a lot of attention, but is she getting help?
Not really. This is something I went into in the article, that even a couple of decades ago, within our lifetimes, you could get people committed to mental institutions against their will relatively easily. And the pendulum on that has swung very much the other way, that someone like Marilyn Hartman, who is obviously doing things that are socially unacceptable and seems compelled to do them by forces that she cannot control, however, is also mentally aware and cognizant enough to say, I don't want to be incarcerated and I don't want to be in these programs. And the way the laws are now, as long as you're not a harm to others and to yourself, you can pretty much keep doing these things. And the legal system does not really have a place for the mentally ill like this. It seems that in Marilyn Hartman's future is incarceration and more of it. But there's certainly, it doesn't seem to be any kind of treatment. Here in the Bay Area, in San Mateo County, which is just one over from San Francisco and actually where the airport is here, they took pity on her and they compassionately tried to put her into an outpatient treatment home. And she just walked out of it. You know, she didn't want to be there. Mm-hmm. She wanted to do what she wanted to do. And and that doesn't seem to fit with what the rest of society expects.
She does seem to have an exaggerated, I guess, fight or flight reaction, you know, just, I got to get out of here kind of thing.
Yeah, this came up. She's, you know, when you talk to Marilyn, she's able to tell jokes and be funny. And when I said, and she said, I have a fight or flight reference. And I said, you literally have a fight or flight reference. and you know, it was a point of humor. And yet she still keeps doing this compulsively. And in the most recent incident, it seems more disturbing than those in the past. She actually had a ticket to fly from Chicago to LaGuardia, and she flies with tickets, I believe, all the time. That's how she gets around the country. But created a disturbance on the plane, you know, saying unusual things like they're starting a war and I want a helmet, and was arrested. Mm-hmm. So that's a little bit out of the MO, is to behave like that on a plane.
Well, you know, this began as a story that in the age of terrorism that a woman could talk herself onto planes all over the country started sounding to me terribly, terribly sad, which I think is where you came to. When did that turn for you?
Well, the first couple of times when you don't actually watch interactions with this person and don't realize that her history goes back further than people thought. You know, she became an internet phenomenon for what happened here in San Francisco last year, but this disturbing behavior of trying to talk her way into airplanes and being arrested at airports goes back to the earliest that I could find is 2009. Half a dozen or more security experts I talked to pointed out that this really isn't a security problem. It's a procedure problem. She was checked for contraband. It's just that she managed to walk on without a ticket. The sadness of it, you know, it became clear that this is someone who was locked in a routine that there doesn't seem to be an exit from. And to me, that, you know, that the second or third arrest, that became very clear. There's no compulsory mental health program. It seems inhumane to jail a senior citizen like this. So it just became a repetitive thing. And then she left the Bay Area and started doing it again and again and again elsewhere. And as long as she doesn't want to stop, she will not stop.
Well, Joe, thank you so much for your investigation on this and for speaking with us today.
Oh, it's the least I can do. Thank you so much. And I hope this ends better than it appears to be ending.
Joe Eskenazi, senior editor at San Francisco Magazine. That's where we found his article, The Woman Who Smuggled Herself Inside the Endless Gate-Crashing Saga of Serial Stowaway Marilyn Hartman. There's a link to read it yourself at wordofmouthradio.org. While Marilyn Hartman's compulsion to fly is rooted in a complex mental illness and a need for escape, for others, taking to the skies is a joy. Dorothy Hayes sat down with her son Keys at StoryCorps to tell him the story of how she became a flight attendant in the 1940s.
How does a young girl get a job with Delta Airlines in 1945? my uncle, he said, well, what would you really like to do, Doc? And I said, I think I'd like to work for the airlines. He said, have you applied anywhere? And I said, yes, an American. And he said, would you be interested in working for Delta? And I said, I don't know anything about Delta. And he said, it will become one of the best airlines in the world. Go home and write for an application. I did, and they sent me an application, and I filled it out and mailed it back. And I had a special delivery from them wanting to know if I could come for an interview.
Did they have appearance standards?
Yeah. You had to have short hair, for one thing, and you had to be well-groomed. In fact, Mr. Sutton used to check the stockings to be sure your seams were straight.
That must have been an interesting job.
Yeah, he was very nice. The first flight I had was an early morning flight. This friend of mine said, go up in the cockpit and see the takeoff. And I did, and it was the most beautiful thing in the world to see the sun rising. I loved it. I knew then I had the right job. I still, every time a plane goes over, I think, oh, I wish I was on it going somewhere.
Why did you leave? Why did you
to
stop flying?
To get married. Then you couldn't be married and fly. Hadn't thought much about being a housewife and a mother, to tell you the truth. And I wouldn't take $1 million for any of you. I wouldn't give you a nickel for another one, but for all four of you, I sure am proud of all of you.
And that's Dorothy Hayes with her son Keys at StoryCorps in Jackson, Mississippi. Their conversation will be archived, along with all StoryCorps interviews, at the Library of Congress. Thank you so much for your listening time today. There's much more to hear and explore at wordofmouthradio.org, including the Word of Mouth podcast. You can sign up for it there or by searching Word of Mouth NHPR in iTunes. And if you like it, write a review and pass it on. Tell a friend. After all, the best suggestions travel by word of mouth. I'm Virginia Prescott. We'll be back with more Word of Mouth tomorrow at 2 here on NHPR.